If we ever make contact with aliens, they might be more interested in learning about Van Gogh and Bach than Einstein or Newton, according to scientists. Art, they say, may attract aliens more than academics because any extraterrestrial civilization that we are able to get in touch with is likely to be much older than us and more technically advanced. Researchers say that at a SETICON conference. Humans would probably have little to teach them about science and mathematics that they don't already know, the theory suggests. However, our art and music is singularly human, and that would likely fascinate an alien species. How about that? Up next, Lynn Marzulli joins us. L.A. will be talking about harbingers for things to come. That's next on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast. Sit back and relax and enjoy three tantalizing hours with L.A. Marzulli, the best-selling author of the Nephilim Trilogy, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural, the Coming Great Deception, and the Luciferian Endgame, and his new nonfiction ebook, The Alien Interviews. L.A., by the way, possesses truly an in-depth knowledge of UFOs and other supernatural phenomena. And tonight, you will find our topic to be extremely fascinating. Here he is back, a Coast to Coast favorite, Lynn L.A. Marzulli. Hey, L.A., how are you?
I'm great, George. Thanks for having me on. Great to be here.
My pleasure. What have you been up to lately?
Well, we're actually working on a television program entitled Watchers. It's our first. It'll probably be about an hour long. And, of course, it's on the burgeoning UFO phenomenon.
Super. And when can we expect to see it?
Probably late fall.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah, we're really excited about it. Producer Richard Shaw and myself are writing it and producing it, and we're in production, so we're definitely excited.
Well, I don't think I ever asked you how you personally got interested in this genre.
Well, it's a quick story, and I'd be more than happy to tell it. A friend of mine asked me about what I thought about the possibility of life on other planets, and I had no answer. Went down to the bookstore, and I picked up a book. In fact, it's right next to me. It's called The Omega Conspiracy by Dr. I.D.E. Thomas. And I read that book. I was totally fascinated. A lot of his sources were actually from the Book of Enoch, which, of course, was found in the Dead Sea Scrolls. It's a couple thousand years old. And I was just absolutely blown away by what Dr. Thomas had put in this book. And from that started my research. I looked at his reading list, his bibliography at the end of the book, and began to get those selected tomes and read those. And one thing led to another, and I said, this would make a great novel. And that's where the Nephilim trilogy really came from.
And it hooks you. Once you're into it, Ella, you can't get away from it.
This is true.
So much out there. Now, you have been looking at events that you say could be harbingers of things to come. What kind of events are you looking at here?
Well, I think in order to, and I want to lay the groundwork here because there's so much to talk about tonight. So much is going on. And I want your audience to understand that I've been looking at this for about 30 years, but full time for a little over closer to 3 years now, full time focused on this. It's all I do. I watch, I look, I read, and I'm trying to connect some dots. There's an ancient prophecy that's about 2,000 years old, and it says this, and I want to read that and with the idea that, does this prophecy relate? Are we in the time, the season, the moment in time where some of this prophecy is being fulfilled right in front of our eyes, or is it just business as usual? And each person out there listening really has to weigh the evidence that we'll go through tonight and make that decision themselves as to where we are. The prophecy says this: "But when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled, for such things must happen. But the end is not yet, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be earthquakes in various places, and there will be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows." So, we look at this and, okay, what does that mean? And is it, and where we are today, is it just business as usual? I mean, we're looking at earthquakes, tsunamis, fires in Russia, and we'll go through some of these things like one-on-one.
Sure.
But I look at these, and from my perspective, from my point of view, it's not business as usual. In fact, I am alarmed at what I see. I have never seen the global atmosphere so charged, so uncertain, so tenuous as it is now.
Is it a cycle, L.A.? Has this happened before?
Well, certainly, if we look at, let's say, what happened right before World War II, or what happened in this country, certainly in the 30s with the Great Depression, people can draw similarities to that, and there are. The planet has gone through certain similar times as what we're seeing now. Certainly, a prelude to World War II would be a great example, a cogent example, and the one that's in our recent history. But what we're seeing, combined with the wars and rumors of wars, we're seeing all these, I call them earth changes, for lack of a, I think it's a kind of a good umbrella there, a good term to look at the earthquakes and the volcanic activity. You know, just let me just whet the readers or your listeners' appetite here. August 13th, 7.2 earthquake. August 12th, 7.1 Ecuador. August 10th, 7.3, 4.8 in Wyoming, 7.4 in New Britain, 6.5 in Morro Gulf, July 24th. What we're seeing is this inundation of earthquakes, and we're getting 7-point-something on the Richter scale almost on a weekly basis. I've never seen that before. I mean, yeah, we get one or two of these things, but not every week and not all over the planet. And we go back to that prophecy, earthquakes in various places. I mean, and again, the listener has to make up their own mind, and from my point of view, what we're seeing, these things aren't going away. I mean, if we had a couple of, you know, like a rash of them in a couple of months or something, and then it stopped for a few months, I'd say, okay, you know, I'm not sure what that was, a little spike perhaps, but I'm not really bothered by that. I mean, maybe loss of life would bother me, but not the fact that we're seeing these things every single week, and they're not going away. They're almost burgeoning. So I'm troubled by that. I'm concerned by that, and that kind of, it kind of wakes me up to the fact that, you know, we may be moving into a time period of which these prophecies speak. Now, the earthquakes are only one dynamic of it. I mean, there's certainly other dynamics that are happening with earth changes. I mean, certainly if we look at the, and this is just one, huge ice sheet breaks from Greenland Glacier. In fact, if you go to my blog site, a lot of this information is listed with links. So, you know, you can check up on it yourselves and just click the link and go there after the show, whatever, do your own homework and see if, you know, I'm pulling rabbits out of my hat or this is well documented. The story continues. It is the largest Arctic iceberg to break off since 1962. Now, again, it's like, you know, we're getting something like, it's just coincidence, but these things start to build up. You know, all these earthquakes and now the glacier. What about the heat wave and the drought that's hitting Europe? They're saying in Moscow, in Russia specifically, they're calling it the heat wave that has plagued central Russia since June is the worst in the country's history. And the quote is, in 1,000 years, neither we nor our ancestors have observed or recorded anything like this sort of heat. I mean, You start connecting the dots here. What are we really looking at? Is it just business as usual, or are the signs, are these the troubles that we're looking at, all these earthquakes in various places, famines and trouble, these are the beginnings of sorrows? And I would point out that I think overwhelmingly that we are moving into a period of time where we're not seeing the signs go away. In fact, they're increasing. Let me give you a couple more here.
Okay.
Why the fires in Russia last week, and someone sent me a Google Earth map.
Were hundreds of dying every week.
Hundreds of dying every week. The fires were at least 500 to 600 of these things, and this is what's alarming. I have not been able to vet the story, but we've heard about the fact that it's getting near Chernobyl, the fires are near Chernobyl, a lot of radioactive material in Chernobyl. If the fires sweep through Chernobyl, then that radioactive cloud goes into the smoke, and now we've got a radiological disaster in that smoke cloud, which will travel around the Earth. And as it picks up and the rain takes the ash and drops it, we're looking at not only acid rain, but radioactive rain. So it's into a whole different deal here. 500 to 600 fires in Russia. It's affecting the wheat crop. Putin announced, or Medvedev announced last week, that Russia will no longer export wheat this year. Now all of a sudden we're looking at food shortages. So one thing is building on the other. Meanwhile, in Pakistan, they're experiencing floods like they have never seen. I mean, we're looking at 20 million people displaced by these floods in Pakistan. So it's like we start looking at some of these earth changes, these world events. And look, I mean, I'm not cherry picking. This is all very recent news. I mean, I could have gone back and, you know, from the first of the year. These stories are in the last 10 days. The earthquakes, on the other hand, are from the first of the year to the present. And the earthquakes are showing, and this, again, is all on the blog, elliemarzulli.wordpress.com, to show that there's an increase, that these earthquakes are repetitive. They're happening on a weekly basis, sometimes two or three on a weekly basis. We go to China. We look at the flooding continues. The search for survivors in northwestern China is growing desperate in the wake of flash floods and landslides that have killed hundreds and disrupted the lives of millions more across Asia. Again, it's like, you know, we're used to seeing like one event like a Katrina, which is horrific, but nothing else really is going on. It's just Katrina. We kind of deal with that. What we're seeing now is this stuff is happening all over the globe, and at some point, our resources can't keep up with the devastation. And I find that incredibly, incredibly alarming.
Do you find it to be supernatural? These are obviously natural events, but the fact that they're all happening, do you think that's been programmed in? It's supernatural or just bad luck for us?
That's a really good question. The fact that the prophecies point to this and the fact that these things are happening, and this is where it gets a little dicey. Is it business as usual, or is something else happening? Or are we looking at other forces which are disrupting life as we know it? And I don't really have the answer to that. I think each person listening to the show is going to have to make up their own minds as to what we're looking at and try to ascertain or discern, is it business as usual, or is this something more? Are we looking at some sort of supernatural event that's causing the earth to quake like this? Is it related to HAARP, or is it something else? Is the earth beginning to go through some sort of change like the 2012 people were talking about, the Mayan calendar, the pole shift and all that? That may be a reality. Or is it, or here's another theory, or is, let's say, the God who's outside our space-time continuum knows this time is going to happen and is pointing to it and then warning us and saying, hey, you know, when you see these things begin to happen, know that these are just the beginnings of sorrows. In other words, people are always talking about the end of the world and tribulation and all this kind of stuff, which is great. But and I get calls from people, do you think we're in it? Is this happening now? Are we in the 7 years? Is the Battle of Armageddon coming soon? And my answer is a resounding no. But I would point out that I believe that we may be, still a little too early to tell, but I mean, it's a huge heads up to me that we are moving into this time. It looks, from my perch, George, that we are rapidly advancing into this period of time, the beginnings of sorrows. I think we're there. I think we're there.
Oh, you may be. Okay, let's go back now. Let's go through some of these items one by one.
Mm-hmm.
A little more specifically, what's happening in Russia with all these people dying. They're suffocating to death, L.A. I mean, they're just, they can't breathe. And, I mean, these poor people, what are they going to do?
Well, some of the stories talk about the Russian people in Moscow getting on airplanes and just getting out. I mean, by the thousands, literally. People are fleeing. There are pictures of people in Moscow. And, I mean, it's an eye opener because they've got masks or their handkerchiefs and it's just the streets are mostly deserted, and you look at the skyline and I live in Los Angeles and or outside of LA, and I've been through the whole fire thing here, and when these things come through, it's almost impossible to breathe, and the ash covers everything. It's also like you go outside and it's snowing, but it's snowing ash. It's not snowing snow. It's ash from the fire, and that's what Muscovites are experiencing in Russia. You know, we get little blurbs and little blips of news, and they talk about the stuff. Meanwhile, I mean, 600 wildfires through Russia. I mean, it's like half the country is on fire. It's absolutely unprecedented. They're talking about the worst heat in 1,000 years. I mean, look, I'm not cherry picking these articles. I'm not fishing for apocalyptic articles. These things are just screaming. The headlines are screaming on all media outlets. I mean, it's impossible to ignore them. And so what we're seeing here is first of all, from a Muscovite or a Russian's point of view, This is unprecedented. They haven't seen anything like this in 1,000 years. And this is my point, George. We take one bit, you know, from Russia, and then we take a look at, let's say, all the earthquakes. And is this, you know, is it business as usual, or is it something more? You know, are we rapidly advancing? Are we accelerating towards a time where it's going to get worse? And we haven't even, you know, touched on the half of it. There's man-made disasters, which we'll get into. There's certainly supernatural events, which are manifesting, and all these things added up together. And of course, the wars and rumors of wars. And it's impossible not to look at what is happening in the Middle East and what is continuing the saber rattling there. So we start adding up all these things, and as we explore each item tonight, I think we'll weave a picture, weave a tapestry, which will show that, in my opinion, that we are accelerating towards a time which globally we have never been in before.
Is this end times? Is this end times prophecy?
I think so. We're not in it yet, but we're accelerating towards it. Absolutely, in my opinion.
Oh, boy. That's all we need, huh? And you know, as the, you know, Pakistan floods, China floods, mm-hmm. and we're talking about hundreds of people dying, but it mm-hmm. all seems to be happening at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
It is happening.
It is happening. Look, last week there was an article, and I mean, I they had video of this, and it was all in Spanish, so I couldn't understand it. But I can see the pictures, and I can see the reporter's face, and I can see what's floating down the river. 6 million fish, thousands of alligators, turtles, dolphins, and other river wildlife floating dead in numerous Bolivian rivers. Absolutely unprecedented. Nothing like this has ever been seen like this in Bolivia. I mean, and this is happening, again, within, you know, the Russian fires are going. At the same time, 6 million aquatic alligators, turtles, dolphins, fish floating down these Bolivian rivers. I mean, it's just, what is going on, folks? What is going on? And they're not even, you know, some people are saying, well, it appears to be that there was a drop in temperature and all this marine life just died because the rivers were too cold to support them. I mean, but it's happening all within, you know, days of each other. I think last week we had let me just go back here and look at this. Yeah, 7.2 in the Mariana Islands, August 13th.
Ecuador had a big one. Yeah.
Ecuador was August 12th, 7.1. Vanuatu, 7.3 August 10th. I mean, it's case in point right there. There's three earthquakes within a 3-day span of each other, all over 7 points on the Richter scale. I mean, you know, go back 20 years ago. When did that ever happen? I don't remember anything like that. I mean, I could be wrong, but I don't remember seeing. And then you tie it in with the Russian, the heat wave and the Pakistani floods and the Chinese floods and the 6 million fish that are dead and floating in Bolivian, you know, the greatest ecological disaster in that country's history. Is it business as usual? I don't think so.
Do you believe that all of this is tied into 2012?
Well, that's the subject of the book I'm working on now, which hopefully will be out sometime in 2011.
You got to beat it before 2012.
I got to get it before 2012. I think that 20, I'll sort of tip my hand here a little bit. I think 2012 is a deliberate obfuscation, and I'll just kind of tease you and listening audience with that. I just think that what 2012 is doing is it's taking people's focus away from what is happening right now in real time, right in front of our noses, which was prophesied thousands of years ago. And that's what's so great about being on the program tonight, because at least we can present this information, download the information. It's up on my blog site, and I'm going to leave it there for the next couple of days so people can access it. And you know, go to the links, do your homework, check it out yourself, and see what's going on. All this is happening on a global level all at the same time. I've never seen anything like it, ever.
Does it scare you?
It doesn't scare me, because knowing the rest of the prophecies and knowing where it leads to is actually a message of hope in that. I mean, we'll get to that maybe in the third hour or something,
yeah,
or latter part of the second hour. But it doesn't scare me, but it certainly gives me cause for alarm. It does. My wife and I are getting more canned food. Not so much that we can hunker down in a bunker someplace, but we know if there's food shortages, people are going to be hungry. So, you know, do we have like a small little tent outside and feed people that wander in? Absolutely, that's what we'll do.
L.A., stay with us. We'll be back with more in a moment. Is it prophecy or simply just earth changes? Well, stick around as we continue our discussion with L.A. Marzulli LA's website linked up right now at coasttocoastam.com. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. We're with LA Marzulli, prophecy. If it is prophecy, other than simply saying it's from the Word of God, how did these people know this, LA?
Well, I mean, that's a whole deal. I mean, that's actually, I'm trying to address that in this new book I'm working on called The Cosmic Chess Match, which talks about, as the Dead Sea Scrolls points out, there's two opposing sides, sons of light, sons of darkness. This thing's been going on for literally millennia, and it's about to spill over from another dimension into our dimension, which again is prophesied. I hadn't looked at a lot of the ancient texts this way, but now I'm looking at every one of these almost as like battle reports, because that's what they are. And what we see, and this is what the new book will talk about, is a move, counter move, move, counter move, move, counter move, all through the writings. It's just absolutely phenomenal when we look at it through that lens, that perspective, everything changes. And so we're told that it's, in my opinion, George, there is a being, and I believe this being is incredibly benevolent and wonderful, that's outside our space-time continuum. And I believe it's a he. And he says that he knows the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end. And he is the only one, the only being, who can call it out with perfect specificity 100% of the time. He makes that claim. So there's others, there are imposters. And I really address this, you know, in the book. So far, his batting record is 100%, where, let's say, Nostradamus, and people will disagree with me on that, that's fine, but Nostradamus or Edgar Cayce or the Hopis, yeah, they get it right some of the time, but not all of the time, and they're way off. And so how is it that they're able to get some things right, but not all the things? And I address this. It took me a year of research just to come up with an answer to that, and that's what I'm working on now.
Is it timing, perhaps? Are they off in dates, but maybe they're right in events?
What I think it is perspective. And I'll sort of tip my hand and again talk about one of the analogies I use. Our perspective of time is this. We're out in a cornfield, okay? We're surrounded by corn. It's about 7 to 8 feet tall. That's what we see. We see the corn stalk in front of us, to the left of us, to the right of us. If we turn around, there's another one behind us. That's our perspective of time. We're stuck in the space-time continuum. 1 second, 2 seconds, 3 seconds. That's how time passes for us. It passes in a linear fashion, all right? The fallen one pulls up and a nice new red shiny fire engine with a two-story hook and ladder thing. And he pulls that baby up, so it's two stories up in the air, this fallen angel, this fallen entity from another dimension. He climbs to the top of the ladder. Guess what his perspective is?
Yeah.
He can see the whole cornfield. In fact, he can see several cornfields beyond that because he's up two stories. Totally different perspective of time. He's not bound by the time-space continuum as we are. He resides in what I call another dimension. For the sake of the conversation, we'll call it the second heaven. Okay, the El Elyon, which is the Hebrew for Most High God, he's up in the space shuttle. So he's got this whole view of not only the cornfield and the adjacent cornfield, but everything else around it. Anytime he wants to look at it, there it is. And that's why information from the second heaven, although it can be sometimes accurate, is often very faulty. And that's the difference in a nutshell. It's an analogy in which we can sort of at least get our three-dimensional, limited, finite mind around a being that's outside the space-time continuum, that knows that for him time doesn't exist, and he can see all points in time simultaneously. Don't ask me how that's done, but that's why he says that I am alone. I alone can call out the end before the beginning and the beginning before the end. So far, he's batting 1,000%. So pretty amazing.
It sure is. Now you talk about the African nation of Niger.
Mm-hmm.
It's tragic over there right now. They're dying. They're dying of food shortages. Massive food shortages. But what's the equation here? Why are you putting that into the mix?
Well, because it's, again, we go back to the prophecy, and it says famines and troubles. Very specific, famines and troubles. We'll talk about troubles in a little bit. But certainly, we're looking at Niger. Let me scroll down to the story. It says, what they are saying is that this is the worst crisis in living memory. They're saying 16.7% of the children under age of five are acutely malnourished. I mean, you don't hear this on the 6 o'clock news. And again, if it was just one isolated incident, you know, World Vision or an aid, but there's so many of these things happening. I mean, we haven't even been able to really help Haiti yet. And that's this year. You know, 200,000 people died in that. Okay, you know, it lasted a couple of days of a news cycle. People move on. They don't think about it anymore. Same thing with Niger. Same deal. But it's there and it's happening. That's their worldview. That's what these people face. The drought is so severe. There's no food coming in, and
they even stopped feeding families that have children that are over 2 years old because of shortages. They can't even take care of them now.
It's atrocious to think that someone would die. I mean, look, we go down to our supermarkets. We walk down these aisles like it's, you know, like we're entitled. And I say that, you know, sometimes I go into Costco with my wife and I'll point her and say, look up, and we'll look up. And you see the infrastructure that's in this country. The shelves are literally stocked with goods up to the ceiling. Most people never look up. They're just too busy putting stuff in the cart. But when we look up, what that shows us is the infrastructure, the wealth of this country, how absolutely we are blessed beyond any other culture, society on the history of the planet. We live like kings. We go down to the market, and what do you want for dinner tonight, honey? And there's everything right there at arm's length. Well, you go to Niger, that doesn't exist. That doesn't exist. They are back literally in some areas like the Stone Age. There's no running water. There's no electricity. And so the people are starving. And what do you do with that? I mean,
and again, you see these as all harbingers of things. This is all part of a bigger puzzle, isn't it?
Well, it links back specifically into the prophecy. Again, I'll just read it. Wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes in various places, famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. And so, again, if we were to take one or two of these, but we're painting a picture here, George, and I think we're doing it, you know, in a really point by point, line by line way. And again, this is on my blog, so you can go there, you can click the link and read the story yourself. This stuff is all within the last 10 days. I made sure I picked all the stories within a 10-day period. And I mean, if I go back further, then, you know, you look at the Haitian earthquake, 200,000 people. I mean, I can't even get my head around that. I can't imagine it. And this is what we're seeing, and it's like, it seems to be accelerating. These events seem to be accelerating. Everything is moving and pressing towards something, it seems like.
Let me ask you this, because I want to talk about it next hour, but this is just driving me nuts. You mentioned crop circles and UFOs, so I'm sure you're convinced there's some tie-in with this as well. Is that true?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, we'll do that next hour, because this gets even
absolutely
more fascinating. They just said that the Gulf Stream is slowing down, maybe even stopping. Do you think it's because of this oil spill, or is this something that just happened to happen?
Well, this gets into the man-made disasters, and it's from a doctor. It's an Italian, what is he? Let me see here. He's a physicist, Italian theoretical physicist. His name is Dr. Zangari. Okay, he was saying, and there's a link again on my blog site. Go check it out yourself. He's talking about the fact that the Gulf Stream has stalled because of the Gorifics and the oil spill itself. I watched a video today of a small single-engine plane flying over the Gulf today, dated today. It's on, once again, it's on the blog site in the comment section. And this guy is like showing, he's out, you know, 5 miles, 10 miles, 20 miles, and at one point there are four fires going on in the Gulf, because that's what they're doing. They're trying to burn off the oil, which sends toxic fumes into the air. An hour later, there's seven of these fires. This goes on 24/7 in the Gulf. There are miles, literally, he says hundreds of miles of oil slicks. And then he flies down lower, and you see this pod of dolphins Half of them are dead. The other, I mean, it's heartbreaking, absolutely mind-blowing and heartbreaking, the devastation that's really going on in the Gulf. What we see is some nice guy on, you know, in a commercial, and I'm so-and-so from BP, and I'm going to stay till this thing gets cleaned up. Okay, we got that. That's great. We're glad you're there. In the meantime, it's probably the greatest ecological disaster that we've ever faced. If the Gulf Stream has stalled, and it has done this before, it's not like it's the first time that the Gulf Stream has stalled, you're looking at a mini ice age, if it's true, if it's really true. If the Gulf Stream has stalled, and look, I'm just one guy here, but I'm looking at this guy's work, and it seems like it's hard to vet. He's sort of backed off the thing now. What is he being pressured? We don't know. But he's sort of backed off, and, well, you know, I'm not sure, that type of thing. But at first, he was very adamant. These images have been doctored. These images are what's really going on. He believes that the Gulf Stream has stalled. And that loop current, which goes from the Gulf of Mexico up the eastern seaboard of the United States, around Newfoundland, down England, and then back over Spain, Portugal, and then comes back, that's the loop. And it brings that warm current in, which creates the weather patterns that we have. If it stalls, you're looking at a mini ice age. In a mini ice age, you're looking at food shortages. Nothing ripens. Look, I'm in California, as I mentioned earlier. I've got two gardens, all right? And I've got a corn patch, and I've got grapes. It is now August 16th. My grapes have not turned purple. That's a first. That's a first. Those grapes are.
And I'm sure you're not alone, right?
I'm not alone. And we haven't had zucchini this year. I finally got my first two zucchinis, and the plants are like 3 feet. They're huge, but nothing is ripening. Nothing is growing.
What? Why?
Because we were in this fog. I call it the no summer bummer summer, because we've had no summer. It's been nothing but fog and marine layer. So it's like nothing is ripening here. This is sort of like what a mini ice age, except it would be a lot more severe. Crops don't ripen, and then you're looking at food shortages. So, you know, look, if the Gulf Stream, and time will tell, it'll be, at some point it will become self-evident if the Gulf Stream has really stopped or not. We're going to find out. But we get all these other anomalies. Last week in New Jersey, tens of thousands of fish wash up on shore. In Florida this week, stingrays beaching themselves, sharks beaching themselves, pods of stingrays. Like a couple of hundred stingrays just in like shallow water, looking for a way out, because there is no way out. Some of them beaching, sharks beaching themselves up on the sand. I mean, this stuff is, in my opinion, unprecedented. I have never seen it, like this. So, you know, look, for the a friend of mine called me tonight, and we were discussing this stuff. And this guy's in the corporate world, and I love him dearly, love him like a brother. Okay,
is he into prophecy, or is he learning?
Not at all, not at all. And we were talking about the stuff, and he's kind of goofing on it, making fun of it, and he's going, "Come on, this stuff is you know, like I know this is what you do, but you can't really be serious. I mean, you can't think it. This is." And I'm going, "Listen, I do believe it is. I've never seen the global situation this charged, this tenuous, with this many natural and man-made and other, like the famine in Niger that we're talking about, the fires in Russia, the floods in Pakistan and China and in Poland." Look, when I was in Nashville, I spoke in Nashville a couple of months ago, okay? The week after I left, huge flood, the 500-year flood hits Nashville. You don't hear doodly squat about this in the mainstream press, because that was the weekend that the crazy bomber in Times Square got all the attention.
Uh-huh.
That, and I spoke to people. I had a guy on my little radio show on Wednesday night, and he was telling us what was going on there. Thousands of people displaced. They were calling it the Katrina of Nashville, of Tennessee, because that's what it was. They hadn't seen a flood like that.
Well, and you know, when they say you haven't seen it in 500 years, that means that the next year it could happen again. Because they just don't know when in that 500 years it's going to occur.
Bingo.
Yep. And it's amazing. You're keeping an eye on the Icelandic volcanoes. Why?
Well, we know a couple of months ago that the Eyjafjallajökull volcano erupted. And when that baby erupted, it closed down the airspace throughout northern Europe, certainly England, Scotland, Wales. And it cost millions of dollars. Well, volcanologists know that usually when Eyjafjallajökull blows, its evil twin, Katla, is sure to follow. They usually erupt in tandem. So I've been keeping an eye on that, looking at the seismic activity, and it kind of waxes and wanes. One week it'll be up, and next week it seems like it simmers down. You know, the news media won't cover this unless there's an eruption. But I try to keep an eye on it on a weekly basis. And there was a period of time about 2 or 3 weeks ago where they were getting lots of seismic activity in and around Katla. And at that point, volcanologists were wondering, this thing may blow. Then it sort of backed off again. The bottom line is, if Katla blows, it'll be 10 times, volcanologists estimate, 10 times more severe than Eyjafjallajökull. Now, that might be a conservative estimate. What if it's 20 times? What if they underestimate it? What if it's 20 times? Well, if it's 10 times, let's just go with the conservative estimate. That ash cloud could wipe out. Now we're really looking at a sort of a mini ice age, like a nuclear winter, because that ash cloud could decimate crops. And not only that, it could close the airspace for weeks on end, perhaps months on end, with that ash cloud as it begins to circle and dissipate over the globe. I mean, let's hope it doesn't happen, but it's volcanologists know that when Eyjafjallajökull goes, historically, Katla is soon to follow. So it's been a couple of months. Nothing's happened yet, but I watch this and look at it on a weekly basis.
Well, and how do we know that some of the ash from that original volcanic eruption hasn't affected, like you say, your crops in the Los Angeles area?
Yeah, and not only that, but what if that has also affected Russia and Pakistan and really global weather patterns as we know it? I mean, we don't know. We don't know the ramifications from all these different things. I mean, we look at the Eyjafjallajökull volcano and the droughts and now the Gulf oil spill and then the earthquakes every week. I mean, again, what are we looking at here, folks? I have to tell you, George, I am alarmed. And I don't use that word lightly. I am alarmed at what I see, absolutely alarmed at what I see.
How about something that we haven't added into the equation yet? We're also getting hit not just with earth changes and man-made disasters, but we're getting hit with this financial situation, which I guess you could categorize as a man-made disaster.
Well, we know that we are trillions of dollars in debt, and the spending just keeps going and going and going. And it's enervated. It's weakened the dollar in global markets. The Chinese will no longer, you know, look at us in a favorable light, let's say, financially. There's been call for a new global currency instead of the dollar. We're looking at a house of cards. There's talk of the Hindenburg syndrome, which there's 6 points, and I'm not going to get into that because I don't really understand them from a financial viewpoint. But I can look at it and say, well, if these guys are talking about the stock market being this volatile, you know, what are we really looking at here? And we get science from Bernanke and other people. It's like a double-dip recession possible. You know, are we headed towards a depression? We're not out of this thing yet. And again, people are losing their homes. The economy is close to double-digit unemployment. I mean, we're not in happy times here. And again, even though there's plenty of blame to go around, Bush, Clinton, I mean, you know, pick your target and just start. I mean, is it deliberate? And this gets into the whole conspiratologist thing. Is it New World Order stuff, shadow government deliberately breaking the bank, as it were, to weaken America because it knows that in order to start a global government, you've got to somehow dumb down, you got to get rid of the United States as we know it? I mean, that's certainly a plausible scenario, you know, a shadow government, a government between hidden from the public eye. Obama's just a figurehead for this thing, just like Bush was, just like Clinton was, and Bush before him, and on it goes. I believe that Kennedy was probably the last real president we had, but that's a whole different rabbit trail. The bottom line is, I think we all can agree that financially we are in tenuous times. I've never seen it like this. I know I have three friends who've lost their houses in foreclosure.
Yeah. Oh no, yeah, it is something out there. So you add this to the mix,
absolutely,
part of the puzzle. All right, we're coming up on the break, and I want to talk a lot about some more of these events, but also get into the what you think is going on with the crop circles and the UFO connection into all of this. And you are going to give us a way out of this, aren't you?
Well, I'm going to give you the good news at the end. What I think is about to happen, and this again, you see. In fact, I want to set that up if I can a little bit. It gets into the whole idea of a cosmic chess match.
All right, let's do that right at the top. Okay, we'll be right back with L.A. Marzulli on Coast to Coast AM.